Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Cheaper by the Dozen, is a semi-autobiographical family memoir written by Frank B. Gilbreth Jr. and Ernestine Gilbreth Carey. First published in 1948, it recounts childhood in the Gilbreth household, where 12 children were raised by parents who were both pioneers in efficiency engineering. The book is not a traditional novel with a single plot, but a sequence of connected anecdotes that show how Frank and Lillian Gilbreth applied time and motion study to everyday domestic life. That unusual premise gives the memoir its identity. It combines humor, family history, and early 20th century industrial thinking in a domestic setting. At the same time, it is also a portrait of a large, tightly organized family shaped by discipline, experimentation, education, and affection. Its purpose is both entertaining and reflective, showing how an unconventional household functioned and how the children later remembered it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, efficiency engineering turned into a family operating system. The book is built around the striking idea that factory efficiency could be brought into the home. Frank Gilbreth Sr. was a leading efficiency expert, and many episodes show him testing methods in family life that mirrored industrial time and motion study. This is not presented as dry theory. Instead, the memoir shows how routines, chores, and even daily movement were treated as things that could be optimized. That premise matters because it reveals the father's mindset and explains why the household felt so unusual. The children were not simply raised in a strict home. They were raised in an environment where procedures, speed, and organization were constantly evaluated. The result is both comic and revealing. The family becomes a kind of laboratory, but one that is emotional rather than mechanical. The book uses this setup to explore how efficiency can be playful when it is tied to affection, and how innovation can spread from business into ordinary domestic life. Secondly, a large family portrayed through episodic humor rather than a single plot. One of the book's defining features is its structure. Instead of following a conventional narrative arc, it presents a series of short stories and family incidents. That episodic form suits the subject because the value of the memoir lies in accumulated detail rather than suspense. Readers learn the family through repeated situations, meals, lessons, discipline, games, and eccentric household experiments. This structure also helps the humor land effectively. Each anecdote works like a miniature scene, often built around timing, absurdity, or the children's reactions to their father's methods. The absence of a tight plot is not a weakness in this context. It reflects the nature of memory itself, especially in a family memoir. The book is less interested in dramatic progression than in preserving the character of a household. As a result, the reader gets a fuller sense of what daily life felt like in a home where 12 children created constant motion, noise, rivalry, and cooperation. The episodic design is central to the memoir's charm and authenticity. Thirdly, Frank Gilbreth Sr. As both disciplinarian and affectionate showman, the father is the book's most memorable figure because he is written as a contradiction in motion. He is demanding, theatrical, humorous, and deeply engaged with his children. The memoir does not flatten him into either a stern authority or a comic eccentric. Instead, it shows how those qualities coexist. He pushes the children academically, invents playful educational exercises, and treats discipline as part of a larger philosophy of improvement. At the same time, he is portrayed as loving and attentive, someone whose odd methods are inseparable from his investment in the children's development. This balance is important because it keeps the book from becoming simply a satire of strict parenting. The father's intensity is real, but so is the family's affection for him. The memoir therefore examines the emotional complexity of authority inside the home. It suggests that discipline can coexist with warmth when it is grounded in genuine involvement, though it also leaves room for readers to notice how unusual and controlling some methods were by modern standards. Fourthly, Lillian Gilbreth and the intellectual foundation of the household, although Frank Sr. often dominates discussion, the book also reflects the important presence of Lillian Gilbreth, who was herself an engineer and psychologist. Her role helps explain why the family's methods were not merely eccentric games, but part of a thoughtful approach to child rearing and education. The household is shaped by a partnership between two highly capable parents, and that partnership gives the memoir part of its depth. Lillian represents continuity, practical intelligence, and the educational seriousness behind the family's experiments. The book therefore offers more than a portrait of an imposing father. It suggests a home where both parents contributed to the children's development in distinct ways. This matters because it places the family within the history of professional women and early applied psychology, even if the memoir's focus remains largely on the fatherly side of the story. It also highlights a broader theme in the book: the best results come not from efficiency alone, but from the combination of intelligence, adaptability, and care. The family works because its parents are aligned in purpose, even when their methods are unusual. Lastly, Education, Discipline, and Resilience in a Household Shaped by Early 20th Century Values. The memoir is also a record of a particular era in American family life. Its emphasis on education, self-improvement, and discipline reflects early 20th century ideals, especially among progressive professionals. The children are taught academically, trained to think quickly, and encouraged to develop habits that fit the parents' belief in structured improvement. At the same time, the book does not ignore hardship. The narrative eventually reaches the father's death, which changes the family's tone and reveals the emotional cost of losing the central organizing force in the household. That ending gives the memoir weight beyond its humor. It shows that the family's identity was built not only on clever routines, but also on resilience after loss. This combination of comedy and seriousness is one reason the book lasts. It can be read as a funny memoir, but also as a document of how family cohesion is tested when a household built on shared systems must adapt to grief. The result is a portrait of endurance as much as efficiency. In conclusion, Cheaper by the Dozen is best suited to readers who enjoy memoirs, family history, humor, and books that reveal how an unusual household actually worked. It will especially appeal to readers interested in parenting, early industrial engineering, and the practical side of everyday life in the early 20th century. Its main benefit is that it shows how abstract ideas like efficiency, discipline, and organization behave when they are brought into a real home with children, conflict, play, and affection. That makes it more distinctive than a standard nostalgic family memoir or a simple biography of its famous parents. It also has lasting value because it captures a disappearing style of American domestic life while remaining entertaining enough to read as a collection of comic episodes. Compared with similar books, it stands out for its combination of historical interest, technical background, and family-centered storytelling. The memoir is funny without being empty, informative without being academic, and affectionate without pretending that the household was ordinary. For readers who want a book that is both readable and structurally unusual, it remains a strong classic. If you would like to support Frank B. Gilbreth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!